We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
Hallelujah. Well, things are heating up here at the River Church, both literally and in the spirit. Amen. I'm telling you guys, this past Wednesday and Thursday, we had Pastor Tommy Lato here from Finland. How many of you guys came out for that? It was an awesome time, and I'm telling you, Wednesday night, like, the whole message, I mean, I was just being challenged and challenged and challenged in my spirit, and God has just been doing something in my heart all week long, and today I'm going to do my best to try to express to you all what's going on the inside of my heart, because the kingdom of God is advancing. Whether we like it or not, it's advancing. But we got to get in on the action, amen? Amen. So, hallelujah. I feel like a pig in mud. I don't know where to begin, you know what I mean? I'm just so excited to share everything that is about to happen here at River Church and in this region. Big things, amen? So you can actually, if you want, you can look in your Bible in Judges chapter 6. I probably won't actually read the scriptures from there. But in case you're wondering, what on earth is he talking about? I'm going to be talking a bit about Gideon this morning, and then I'm going to relate that back to our church and our circumstances and our region and what we're going to see take place here. But so you can, you know, I mean, make sure you're listening to what I'm saying, but if you want to see where I'm getting what I'm getting from, it's found in Judges chapter 6, talking about Gideon. So in the beginning of Judges chapter 6, we see that Israel is not serving the Lord. And when they fell away from serving God, they began to serve the Baals, the false gods. And when they did that, God removed his protection from the people, and the people began to suffer from the invasion of the Midianites and the surrounding peoples that came in. And they would come in. It says that they came in with armies as innumerable as the sand of the sea, that they came in like a vast army of locusts. And when they came in, they consumed everything. So they didn't leave them food. You know, sometimes people come in, would invade Israel, take over, and they would set up their kingdom and then require them to pay tribute, and they wanted them to actually prosper so that they could take the money from them that they were prospering. But these Midianites, they were different. They just came in and they consumed everything and they killed everything, and then they would just leave. They did not want the Israelites to make progress. They did not want them to move ahead. And so when stuff like that happens in our lives, and when stuff like that happens in our country, and stuff like that happens in the church, we always begin to wonder, well, when is God going to do something about it? Right? That's where our thought process go. It couldn't be me, Lord. I'm perfect. I'm in every way. So it couldn't be me, God. When are you going to do something about my circumstances? I have all the faith in the world. I'm operating in flawless godly character. I'm just, you know, the perfect saint. So God, when are you going to do something about my circumstance? But we see something very different that happened here with Israel and the Midianites, because the people, it says that they began to cry out to God. They were suffering, and they began to cry out to God. They were suffering under oppression. They were suffering from lack. They were suffering from just about every area that you can imagine. Now, if you're reading, it actually says that they found dens, that they found caves, and that they found strongholds up in the mountains that they began to hide out in. So, I mean, you have to remember, these guys, these Israelites, this is the same group of people that just decimated the most powerful nation on earth. They just decimated Egypt. And then they moved in and they took down Jericho without even raising a hand against the wall, the whole thing. They came in and they wiped out all these enemies. And here they are struggling and suffering under this attack of the Midianites. And what did they do? The first thing they did was they began to hide in caves. You know, you got to look at your surroundings. You got to look at your life. You got to look at what's going on. And if you find yourself having to go backwards and look in a cave to find somewhere that you can hide out, if you have to go find a den so that you can just get by, you know that you're doing something wrong. Because the kingdom of God is always advancing, which means we should be always advancing, which means we should be making progress, which means we should be succeeding, which means we should be taking ground. So these Israelites, for whatever reason, it took them several years, but they woke up and they're like, well, we must be screwing something up. Let's cry out to God. So they cry out to God. And God, he's so faithful. He reminds them of his word to them and how he has always helped them in the past. He told them, I'm the God that delivered you out of Egypt. So don't you worry about these Midianites. Because if I could deliver you from the Egyptians, I can deliver you from the Midianites. And you might be here today and maybe there's an area in your life where you feel like, well, I've screwed this area up or I've messed up here, I messed up there. What is it that we need to do? We don't need to have another sob pity party and cry and boohoo and go on Facebook and write to our friends about how, you know, our dog died last week. We need to go to God. We need to cry out to God and say, God, I need your intervention in my situation. What I am experiencing is not right, and I demand that something changes. So that's what they did. They cried out to God. You might have a circumstance in your life where you're saying, this does not look like health. This does not look like prosperity. This does not look like God's blessing on my life. So what do you need to do? Cry out to God and demand that he intervene in your situation. You see, the Israelites, this is a common theme that we see with them, is that they, when things go bad, they're like waiting for God to come and do something. But he is actually waiting for them to cry out and say, God, come. God, come, move. Move in my life. Move in my situation. Move in my family. Move in my heart. Come and change me. We always want God to change everything else. But God wants us to get hungry and thirsty for him so that we can change, so that we can change our situation around us. Amen? So if the past, look, I mean, Paul, he writes about the past. He's like, I'm forgetting about the things of the past. I'm pressing forward. I'm moving on. I'm taking ground. I'm pressing towards the high calling of Christ. Amen? So that's what we need to do. The past is past. We learn from our mistakes, but now we move forward. And I'm telling you, I've made some mistakes. Even in the ministry, I've made some mistakes. But I'm going to learn from my mistakes, and I'm going to take stock of what has taken place, and then we're going to move forward. You see, I don't know, this is me sharing a little bit of, you know, the way that I am and some of maybe my flaws, but I don't know what it was that happened when I moved up here and when I moved back here from Tampa and we started the church. I kind of went into like a pastoral mode, which, hey, I feel called to be a pastor, so you would think that that would be okay, that you could pretty much just move into town, set up shop, and then just start pastoring. But in a way, you can't really do that if you don't have a church to pastor, right? And a church is not a building. A church is people. A church is the body of Christ. So I come here thinking we're just going to come into town and start pastoring people and taking care of people, and people will like that, and the thing will grow. Which, as we see here today, to a small degree, it has grown. You know, we used to be back in a community building with, you know, 5 people on a Sunday. And so we're here today, and we see that things have grown. Well, in a minute, towards the end of the message, I'm going to read from you in the book of Acts what took place, and to give you a spoiler alert, multiplication was key. They multiplied. They were growing. You know, as the church, we have to get rid of small thinking. And you see, it's not about me and us and our church. It's about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is expanding, and we need to take action to make sure that that is taking place in our life. So here I am. You know, we start the church, And for whatever reason, I had it in my mind that, well, if we're just, you know, taking care of people, praying with people, you know, helping people out and preaching messages that will help people out become more successful in their life and more successful in faith, that things will get better. And I believe for many of you, things have gotten better. Is there anybody that has attended church here that things have gotten better in your life? Praise God. All right. There's a few of you. So that means we're at least doing a little bit right. But The problem that I see is that there is not enough of you here this morning saying that things are getting better. There needs to be another 10,000 people that are being reached. Amen? You see, our nation, our region, our city, they're not godly, right? You don't believe me, just go walk around, you know, north of downtown Rochester. You find yourself in a place where you're not sure if you're in Haiti or if you're in the United States of America. You know, and this is not just a local issue. This is taking place around the country. And so, you know, we could say, well, praise God, we have President Donald Trump in office and he's going to change things. I'm happy that we have President Trump in office. I mean, you might not like him. I think he's all right. But I don't think what he can do is enough. I think that if we want to see change in this region, if we want to see change in our state, if we want to see change in our country, that it has to come from the church, that it has to come from the gospel message, that it has to come from you and me rising up and taking our place and boldly declaring the gospel message, boldly laying hands on the sick and seeing miracles take place. Amen? We have to rise up as the church. And this is what's been stirring up in my heart, that we have not taken enough action on what God has called us to do. I think what has taken place here so far to this date has been okay. But I think that God is about to heat some things up in this church, that we're about to take things to the next level. And I hope that you all will be on board with that. Amen? So we see Israel, they cry out to God, save us from the Midianites. Lord, we need help. And then what happens? It didn't happen the way that most people expect or want God to move. You see, we want God to just do it all for us. We want God to just, all right, Lord, we cried out to you. Now you're just going to, you know, solve all the issues. You're just going to flood into my situation and everything's going to change because I cried out to you. But that's not what happened. You see, God needs a man or a woman of God that will stand up, that will rise up and say, God, it's me. I see what you want to do in our nation. I see what you want to do in our city. I see what you want to do in our county. Use me. So what happens? He sends the angel of the Lord and he goes and visits a man named Gideon because he needed a man. He needed a woman. He needed a person. God always looks for a person. He looks for somebody who is able and willing to do what God called him to do. Now, we notice that when the angel of the Lord came to Gideon, Gideon didn't just say, oh, this is sweet. Let's go take on the Midianites right now. His first reaction is like, Lord, you got the wrong guy. I'm from the lowest stock of the lowest clan of the lowest of the lowest of the low in all of Israel. You got the wrong dude. And he began to tell God why it couldn't be him. And God's so smart, he just says, rise up in the power of your might and go take on the Midianites. He doesn't, you know, because he saw something. He saw something in Gideon. I don't know exactly what it was, but I have a feeling that it was already the fact that he was rebelling against the Midianites by threshing wheat in the wine press. You see, they were not supposed to be collecting food. He had to hide it in the wine press so that the Midianites didn't come and take his wheat. They were taking everything. They were taking all that they had. They weren't supposed to have any wheat. So he was in there working against the Midianites, and he saw something in that man that said, this man is not someone who's just going to settle and just allow the enemy to come and kick his tail. He saw something in that man, and he said, you're the guy. So, of course, the Lord had to work with him in a little bit, and this is the story where, you know, Gideon, he sets out his fleece, and he's like, Lord, if you really want to use me, if you really want to do this, then, you know, make this fleece soaking wet, and in the morning, everything else dry. And then he does that, and then the next day, he wants the opposite done. He wants everything covered in dew except for the fleece. Look, and let me just say this, total side note, many people have gotten fleeced, All right? What they do is they ask God to line up their circumstances in order to prove that God wants something done. I don't know why God chose to do this for Gideon, but I know that many people will say, God, if you will do this for me, then I'll believe that it's you. I'll tell you this. Gideon, he was not full of the Holy Spirit. He did not have the full revelation of the Word of God. And when he was doing that, he was not acting in faith. And what does God respect? God respects faith. God wants us to act in faith. So that's what we, you know, don't let yourself get fleeced. Lord, if that's the one for me, send me some shooting stars and I'll believe that it was you. Now, some of you might know what I'm talking about. I hope my brother listens to this message because I'm picking on my brother. When he was a teenager, he was dating this girl. He'd been with her for like 2 weeks. And Tim's a romantic, you know? I didn't get that in my system somehow. You know, I'm working on that with my wife. I need to be more romantic for my wife. But Tim, he's like when he was dating his wife Virginia, like he would write her these love letters and spray his cologne on it and send it to her. I'm like, man, who does that? You know what I mean? Like, you know, I mean, like, my brain is not wired like that. Y'all are lucky that I put cologne on when I come to church, let alone on some letter. But let me tell you how Tim got fleeced by a bunch of shooting stars. So he's dating this girl, and he's like, Lord, you know, just show me a sign if this is, you know, the one for me. I don't even think he wasn't even out of high school, so how's he supposed to know if it's the one for him or not? Anyway, but they're on like a walk or whatever, and they're spending some time together, and all of a sudden he sees a shooting star, and not just one, but he saw three shooting stars while they were together that night, and he just knew that it was the Lord, because to that point he'd never seen a shooting star in his life. You know, like a week later the girl dumps him. So I mean, you know, you can't just expect that God's going to supernaturally do something for you to reveal to you. Man, just operate in faith. God's looking for us to rise up and operate in faith. You don't need like some fleece to set out and be like, God, is this you? You know, I mean, we don't have to know, does God want me to win souls? The Bible wants you to win souls. You don't have to pray and say, God, if you want me to give, please line up circumstances, tell so-and-so to come give me money. So like, man, just give, like do what the Bible says. Do. Amen. Now that was all on the side for free. But God is looking for somebody that he can use. You see, God did not just send the angel of the Lord to come down and smite all the Midianites. Could he have? Sure. But did he? No. Why? Because he uses a man. He uses a woman. He uses somebody that will rise up and take action on the word of God to see God's kingdom expand. Amen. So Gideon, of course, as I said, he didn't feel qualified. You know, I'm the lowest of the low. Isn't it awesome that God does not need great credentials in order to use you? Isn't it awesome that he did not need me to have the most impeccable credentials in order for him to use me? Sometimes we're trying too hard in our natural mind in order to be used by God. Maybe God is just... Stop waiting for you to try so hard in and of yourself and say, God, look, if you want to use me, use me. I'm ready. I'm willing. Here I am, Lord. Use me. And you know, many people have prayed that prayer and said those things, and then they just carry on doing nothing. If you say, Lord, here I am, use me, well, then give him an opportunity to use you. Go tell somebody, hey, Jesus loves you. He has a great plan for your life. Go say to somebody, hey, I want to pray for you because you're sick and you can be healed. If you don't give God an opportunity to move, how's he going to move? God won't just come and do it for you. He's waiting for you to move. He's waiting for me to move. He's waiting for River Church to move. Amen? And that's what God's been stirring in me is that, and I'm going to take the blame for it as the pastor of this church, is that we have not been moving. We have not been taking ground in the way that we should. There's a whole lot more that needs to happen here. There's a whole lot more. And part of it is because of my small thinking. I'm always waiting for everything to work out perfectly. I want God to like drop on me like, you know, $300,000, $1 million so that we can go do what God's called us to do. I'm waiting for God to send me, you know, 250 volunteers so that we can go out and do what God's called us to do. That's, I mean, to a degree, that's the way that my mind has been thinking, is that we need more before we can really step into what God's called us to do. But if you were here Wednesday night or Thursday night, I don't remember when, but Pastor Tommy was sharing how they started their Bible school within the first month of them starting their church. And they didn't even have a church yet. They only had a handful of people. And yet they knew that this is what God called us to do. And now you can go on social media and see the pictures of large groups of people graduating from their Bible school. It really helped me. It challenged me. Because like he was sharing in Finland at right now, I mean, maybe in years past it was different, but right now there's like 2% of people that go to church. And they're taking ground. They're not saying, Lord, look at our circumstances, look at our country, the people are so hard, they don't want to receive the gospel, it's so hard out here. No, they're taking action. They're going out on the streets, they're winning souls, they're raising up a Bible school, their television broadcast is across the entire nation. He was telling me, like, we're not even scratching the surface. So I was like, what do you mean you're not scratching the surface? He's like, there's so much more that we want to do. He's like, he said on a weekly basis, they want to be reaching 120,000 people in the city of Helsinki every single week with the gospel through television, through media, through their church. I mean, that because that's a tithe of the city, 10% of the population. He's like, so, you know, you might see what we're doing and you might be like, wow, that's so awesome. That's so great that your church. He's like, but we're not even close. So he's telling me that about his church in Finland. And here I am in Rochester is thinking, great, what kind of an excuse do we have then? In a nation that has experienced revival after revival and in an area with the history that we have, where the entire region was swept with a move of God. Granted, it was like over like 150 years ago, but it happened. So, and circumstances were no better back then when it happened. So what is it? What is it that's going to cause it? Are we to just wait on a sovereign move of God? Are we just to say, God, Lord, we just pray that you just send revival again, that you just move, that you just come and you save these people? No. That's part of it. We're going to pray. Yes, we will pray. And that's one of the areas that the Lord's been dealing me with on, is that we need to have more corporate prayer time. You know, I mean, you look at churches around the world that are growing, and they have a huge emphasis on prayer. They actually get together and pray, not for just like 5 minutes, not for just like mealtime, Lord, bless this food into our bodies. They're actually praying. They're contending for a move of God. They're contending for souls to get saved. So we're gonna pray. Amen? But if God can move in Helsinki, Finland, then God can move here. Amen? But what's it going to take? It's going to take you and me saying, God, use my hands, use my lips, use my feet, use my business, use my life, use my family, use every area. And I know you guys are a radical group of people, so I'm not going to put the blame on you. I'm going to put the blame on me because I feel like I haven't challenged you guys enough. I feel like I haven't stepped up to the plate enough to believe God for big enough, to believe God that we could even start our own Bible school here. I mean, I feel like that's going to happen. Maybe this year. I don't know. But like, I feel like that's going to happen. Like, we're going to start a Bible school because, you know, I know people could just fly down to Tampa and go to Bible school, but I don't think that everybody wants to do that. You know, I think there's some people that actually like Rochester. There might not be that many, but there might be a few that say, you know, I'd rather just go to Bible school here. You know, and the thing is, when you go to Bible school, like, you go to the next level because you're not just getting preached to on Sunday and Wednesday, but you're like Sunday, and maybe we start out 2 days a week, Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday night service, Thursday night Bible school. Then, I mean, you can go to a whole nother level in your walk with God. And hey, we might not be at the point of starting a Bible school in the natural, but I'm done walking by my natural senses. I'm going to believe God to do big things, to challenge us and to step out and take action, to dig a ditch and to let him fill it. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So God, He's not looking for your natural qualifications. He's looking for your heart. He wants somebody with a hungry heart, with a heart after the things of God. Amen? So Gideon asks God why He's allowing all this oppression to happen. And where are the miracles that You did to deliver us out of Egypt? And as a people, we have this tendency to ask God and to blame God. Why is our city experiencing all of this? Why is our region fallen from the things of God? God, why aren't You moving more and in a greater way? Why aren't we seeing the kingdom of God expand like we saw in the book of Acts? God, why don't You move like You did in the days of Phinehas? God, why don't You move like You used to? I think that's what the tendency is for many people. But God came to Gideon because he was going to be used to deliver them. You see, I don't know about you, but I'm not content letting our town, our city, our county, our region go to hell. But there's a lot of problems, real problems that exist. From drugs to all kinds of mess, party, everything that you can imagine, all kinds of wickedness are taking place, and they're going to keep on doing it unless the church will rise up and take its place, unless the church will rise up and take action, unless the church will rise up and go tell them that God loves them, go tell them that Jesus loves them, that He has a plan for them. Amen? So we can't just wait for God to send revival. So more than likely, God's waiting on us. He's waiting on us to pray. He's waiting on us to preach. He's waiting on us to go out and lay hands on the sick. God says that He will confirm His word with signs following. So He's just waiting for us to go out and tell people His word, and then He will confirm that word with signs following. He's waiting for us to go. You know, here's something that's interesting. I was listening to a minister, and he was talking about how, you know, in his younger years when he traveled, and you know, I've heard this from not just him, but other ministers as well, that when they would travel to foreign nations of the world in places, remote places where the gospel had never been preached before, that miracles would just happen so much easier. I mean, you can even talk about Teal Osborne. He did the same thing with him. He would travel to Africa. He would travel to India. He would go all around the world to these remote places. And when he would pray for miracles, they were popping like popcorn. They were taking place all over. But then when he'd come back to the States, it was different. Why was it different? Why didn't the miracles take place like they did in overseas? Because miracles and signs and wonders are primarily for attracting the lost to come in and get saved. And so, you know, back when T.L. Osborne was doing that, going there and coming back, maybe America was in a better state than it is now. But, you see, America used to send missionaries around the world to go preach the gospel. And now those nations are sending missionaries to America to preach the gospel here. Because they can look and see, that country's lost. That country needs Jesus. It doesn't take an expert to look at what's taking place in our nation and see that that country needs Jesus. And so there's countries where the gospel has been preached in, and now they're sending people back here. So that encourages me to go out and pray for signs and wonders, because you can go out on the streets today and find people that have never been told about Jesus. They actually don't know that Jesus died on the cross for them so that they could be saved. It's one thing for a group of people that know who Jesus is, that know what Jesus has done, and then reject Him. But it's different when there's people that haven't even heard what Jesus has done for them. And especially this younger generation at large, they have no clue. So that's good for you and me, because we can go out and we can expect God to move with signs and wonders. Amen? Hallelujah. So Romans 10 and 14 says, "How then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent?" So that's what we're going to do. We're going to step things up, and we're going to send you out. We're going to come into this building or the next building, wherever we're at. we're going to get filled with the Holy Ghost, and we're going to go out, and we're going to minister, and we're going to see God move in a mighty way. Amen? You know, it's interesting. About 3 weeks ago, I had a meeting at the mayor's office, the Mayor Lovely Warren, in the city of Rochester. And the meeting was set up by Brother Jonathan Shuttlesworth's ministry to come and do a Festival of Life crusade in the city of Rochester, which my wife and I, we've been to those, and it's a phenomenal event where they just come and they bless the community, they preach the gospel, they give out a lot of stuff, get a big crowd to come and preach the gospel, and then do whatever they can to get those people plugged in to local churches, and it's awesome. And somebody had talked to the mayor of Rochester about having him come to our city. And so the crusade director for Brother Jonathan, he let me know that this was going on, and he invited me to come to the meeting with the mayor and with, you know, there was several other pastors from the city of the more well-known churches, I suppose. And he was there telling them about the crusade and whatnot. And then, you know, this was kind of bad for me, because that morning I had a couple other meetings and I forgot about what time that meeting was at. So I end up showing up in like a long sleeve t-shirt and jeans. Meanwhile, every other person there is like in like a suit and tie. And I'm just like, oh gosh, this is exactly what they think. The stereotypical young minister doesn't care about, you know, whatever, disrespectful to the mayor. I don't know. I don't know what people are actually thinking, but that's how I was feeling. And then he asked me, he's the crusade director, Tony. He's like, hey, we have a pastor here who's come to our Festival of Lights. Why don't you tell him, you know, what it's about? So great. Now he puts me on the spot. I didn't know he was going to do that. And I have to tell all these people about, you know, the Festival of Life and what my experience was. And I think it was okay. But what was great was at the end of the meeting, I actually, the mayor's assistant came up and started talking to me. And I mentioned that, you know, we are looking for a new building and we are looking to be closer to the city. And so she tells me, she's like, well, if you need help getting in a building, just let us know. We got tons of buildings. We can help you get in a building. If you see a building that you like, just call me and tell me, and I'll tell you if it's one that we own, and we'll help you get in there. But the mayor and her assistant, and these people, they're like super open to the gospel being preached. And it didn't dawn on me then, but it dawned on me this past Wednesday night that, you know, the mayor came in to the meeting with all of us pastors, and she's like, this is what Rochester needs. Rochester has a lot of problems, but they're not going to change unless the gospel message is preached. And I'm like, man, praise God, that's the mayor of Rochester. My first time meeting her, and she's talking about how the gospel needs to be preached. And then her assistant telling me like, this is what we need. And so it didn't dawn on me then, but I was thinking like, I was thinking mostly, this is great that Brother Jonathan has this open door to come preach in the city. This is great. Our mayor's hungry for the things of God. It didn't occur to me that I'm also in Rochester. And what are we doing? What are we waiting for? Why aren't we taking advantage of this? You see, I think that there's more people in this city and in this region that are in places and positions of power like that, that are hungry for the things of God, that have realized that politics, that have realized that, you know, the government and natural things aren't changing people, but that we need to have the gospel preached. And so this past Wednesday night, the Lord was dealing with me as I was here on the floor after I got prayed for, and man, I just got this boldness on the inside of me that we're going to go to Rochester. I'm Monday morning, I'm calling or I'm texting, whatever. I'm going to message Tracy, the mayor's assistant, and I'm going to say, hey, can I set up a meeting with you? And I'm going to go talk to her and find out where can we start preaching. Why should we wait? We shouldn't. We should just go into the city, say, hey, where's the best park that we can set up and that we're going to preach? Well, I don't know. We'll cook some hot dogs, some hamburgers, hand out some flyers, do some Facebook ads. We're going to crank this thing to the next level, and we're going to see the gospel, the raw power of God move. Amen? And how many of you want to be a part of that? Amen? You see, we can't wait. We can't just assume that God's just going to intervene. God knows our circumstances. God knows that this region needs a move of God. God knows that this land needs revival. Yes, He knows. But he's waiting for somebody. He's waiting for a group of people. He's waiting for you and for me to rise up and say, God, use us. This is our city. We're not going to let it go to that. We're not going to let our city go to hell. And it doesn't have to stop in Rochester. We can minister in Brockport, in Spencerport, Hilton, anywhere around. I mean, why not? Let's just hit it all, right? But in order for that to happen, that means you and me need to come together, and we need to step up our game. We need to believe God for big things. I mean, Pastor Tommy on Thursday was talking about business. I mean, you guys got to believe for some businesses, you know? Get some kingdom finances coming in so that we don't have to even go to the city and say, hey, can you help us find a spot? No, that we can just be like, hey, we're paying to use it. We're just going to pay for everything cash and just preach the gospel. And we don't have to ask people for permission because we have the finances to do it. Amen?
Amen.
Who here needs a good business idea? Anybody? All right, give me your Bible, sweetheart. All right, this Bible, this is ridiculous. I bought this Bible because my wife, she wanted a leather Bible, and if you smell it, it smells like really nice. It's like real cowhide leather Bible or whatever. But I'm pretty sure all the people that made it was they took a New King James Bible like that one, and they just glued on this leather cover. I think. It's my suspicion from looking at it. There's her name on it. That costs an extra $15. And their little logo on there. This thing cost me, including shipping, and I'm only telling you how much it cost for the sake of this example, but it costs $107. I'm not saying that for like, wow, you're so whatever. I'm saying that because look at that. And you know what? You don't do it right now. If I see you pull out your smartphones, I'll know you're not listening to me. But if you search for like custom leather Bible online, that company comes up. They're like the only one. It's like Paul's Leather Co. or something. And you know, it's actually a cool company. They're using the proceeds that they get to actually go and preach around the world in remote regions of the world. I read their whole website and I was like, you know what? I feel better about sending, you know, $100. You know what? Most Bible companies aren't even owned by Christians. Isn't that messed up? They just know. I mean, business people are smart. They know, well, Bibles are the number one selling book. Why don't we start selling those? So this one's actually pretty cool. You know, I didn't mind sending them $100. They can use it for something good. But hey, I mean, people are willing to pay for something that's a good product. And I mean, if you feel this Bible, if you smell it, it's a good product. $107 though. I mean, come on. I mean, you could, you know, make 10 of those a week and that's an extra $1,000. That's pretty good. So I mean, like, it doesn't have to be like, you know, you're solving world hunger. It could be that you're gluing on leather Bible covers. You know what I mean? But start to believe God that he's going to give you a creative idea to bring in kingdom finances. Amen?
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So we're going to reach the city. I'm going to start by meeting with the mayor, but I'm telling you, we're not going to stop there. You know, we're going to step up our game in everything. And in order for that, I'm really going to need help because I'm like, all right, we need, you know, in Acts chapter 6, I think it is, you know, actually, I'll read it real quick. Acts chapter 6 and verse 3, it says, "Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 good men of reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." What does that mean? They're studying the word, they're preaching the word, and they're praying. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose 7 dudes, and whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they lay hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied. Say multiplied. The number of disciples multiplied. You see, that's what we got to see. You know, it doesn't say that that they were adding. They were multiplying. They were just exponentially increasing. Why did that happen? Well, it says that they multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Hey, so even priests, they need to hear the gospel too. All right? So why did it happen, though? Because they chose these people to be in charge of the distribution of food, because that was what was taking up the apostles' time. They're like, hey, we don't have time for this. We got to, you know, set you guys up, empower you guys so that you can take charge of this area. And then we'll spend time praying and ministering the word. And then the number of disciples greatly multiplied. So here's the thing. I realized I can't just be preaching on Sunday and Wednesday night. That's a great start, but it's not enough. If we want to reach our city, man, I'm talking like Monday through Friday. And like, I mean, you know, it's 2018, so we can be creative. There's television, there's YouTube, there's Facebook, there's Instagram, there's podcasts, there's radios, there's, we can write books, we can write blogs, we can write, I mean, we can do so much stuff to get the gospel message out. You know, and I used to think, well, you know, if someone's hungry for God, they can just go on YouTube and look up Brother Hagin, or they can go on, you know, and watch, you know, TBN or something. Why does anyone want to listen to me? They want to listen to us because we're in their region, because we know them, because we're here. You know, people are like that. They like knowing the fact that hey, that person that showed up on my Facebook with a live video or my YouTube or my TV or my radio station, they're somebody that's right up down the road and I can connect with them. They like that. So we're going to do that. We're going to be the ones that when people, you know, I mean, I was talking with somebody the other day and they're like, you know, if you want to pay to go on Christian television, it's really expensive. And then you're fishing in a small pond because there's like, you know, hundreds of these preachers that are all trying to reach like, you know, this small group of people that are mostly, you know, in nursing homes or whatever. So, you know, I mean, that's probably where most of their viewers are from. But you can get pretty cheap on Fox television. That's what he was saying. It's like, it's really cheap to go on like a local station because they don't have like this demand of people trying to get on television anymore like they used to. So we can go on there. We can do Facebook advertising with our live stream. You know, we should have cameras live streaming our services. You know what I mean? And we should have live broadcasts, you know, every day if we possibly can. We should have and all of this, it's going to take all of us coming together. It's going to take some effort on all of our part. It's going to take us coming together with the purpose of reaching the gospel. You know, if I want to go set up, a meeting in the city and preach the gospel, I can't do it on my own. I need people there to help. I need people to help get the word out. Amen? So I'm telling you, our church, we're going to rise up. We're going to take the city. I believe we're going to start a Bible school so that we can even train up, you know, ministers right out of here. Amen? And who knows, we might do like a daycare or, a kid's school. I mean, like, kids these days, they need somewhere good to spend their time. You know, if you're a working mom and a working dad, maybe you're a single parent or whatever, like, I mean, you don't want to send your kids to some bum. You know what I mean? Send them somewhere good. So who knows? Look, there's no limit as to what we can do. We're going to believe God to do big things. But we're also going to need people to rise up. People that are going to be like Gideon and be like, all right, look, I might not be the most qualified, but in the end, he ended up saying like, all right, God, let's do this thing. And the Lord had to show him time and time again not to rely on the natural, not to rely just on what you see. You see, when he was like finally ready to go take on the Midianites, he's like, great, let's send out messengers and we'll get the biggest army that we possibly can, which really didn't make any sense because they were fighting against an innumerable army, it says. It says they couldn't count the number of enemies coming. So they gather like 20-some thousand, which is really a drop in the bucket against them. But God says, you know what? I don't want you to have 20,000-some troops. Because then, even if you win, you'll take credit for it. So what does he do? God, through a couple creative ways, reduces the number of troops down to 300 people. Great, Lord. So now we got 300 people going up against innumerable. This is just really great. This is just fantastic. But God's smart, right? God knows what he's doing. And God likes getting all the glory. He likes thriving in impossible situations. So those 300 people, they hear the plan from God, and they go out, and they totally decimate that entire army. How? You can read it and find out. But the Lord gave them the way to win against impossible odds. And I don't know about you, but I feel like if we look around the room here today, and then we think about taking on the city of Rochester, I kind of feel like it's a similar situation. You might be thinking like, I'm not sure about all these people in here. How are we going to really do this? I'm sure that Gideon felt the same way. 300 troops going up against innumerable. Like, I'm sure he was thinking like, Lord, you really better do something here. I hope you are right. But they took action. They went in. And they and the Lord was the one who did who caused the chaos in the troops of the enemy. So the enemies ended up just fighting each other. The enemies just panicked and they all freaked out. They didn't know what was going on. God can easily defeat the devil. God can easily take out the powers of darkness, but he's just waiting for a group of people that'll rise up and really believe him and say, God, you can use me. You see, you might be thinking that you need to graduate from Bible school in order to go lay hands on the sick and see a miracle take place. Uh-uh. It doesn't say that Bible school graduates and ministers are called to go out and lay hands on the sick and see them recover. It says believers. Who here is a believer? Then you are called to go out. You have the power to preach the gospel. You have the power to tread on scorpions and serpents. You have the power that if you drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt you. You have the power to speak in new tongues. You have the power to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. You have the power to go out and preach the gospel and raise up disciples. That's for the believer. That's for you and me. Ministers, their job is just to raise up the church into doing the work of the ministry, which is everything that Jesus did. So we're going to rise up. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're going to rise up. So the question that I have for you today is, how can you get involved? How can you get involved? You know, I mean, I'm starting tomorrow. Tomorrow night, if you want to come, I'm going to have a prayer meeting. I know that wasn't in our announcements. I didn't even tell my wife. But tomorrow night, we'll just have a prayer meeting at 7 o'clock if you want to come. Hey, there's a great way. You might be wondering, well, you know, I don't know if I can go out and preach. Well, can you pray? I mean, you can come and pray. You know, I mean, there's many different things. There's going to be, like, new opportunities to help so that you can help at any given time. I mean, you know, like, I'm telling you, I used to try to do this where I would, when I was, does anyone remember when we were doing those Facebook Live sessions? You saw it from the camera angle, but if you would have saw what we were doing, I had the computer filming for Facebook, I had my phone filming for Instagram, I had a microphone recording for podcast. I mean, it was like ridiculous. I could use some help. You know, I need some, like, you know, some help doing this kind of stuff. I don't want to be the one that's trying to think of how can I hang this microphone that is not in the camera shot. I want to be the one that just, like, you know, just sits there and can focus on the word and get the message out. Amen. So we can use help. I'm telling you, there's going to be plenty of opportunity. If you're, you know, people, they ask, well, how can God use me? What's God's vision for my life? I don't know. But I know that if you'll help another man's vision, if you'll just begin to put, you know, if you'll begin to go all in and help this ministry, this church, do what God's called us to do, then God has a way of, when you take care of his kingdom first, then he adds all these other things to you. The things that you need, the things that you've been waiting for, the things that you've been praying about, the needs that you have. He has a way of that when you say, God, your kingdom first, I'm going to take this time that I could spending on my own time, doing my own thing, and put your kingdom first. I'm going to go help the church. I'm going to go soul winning. I'm going to go make some extra money and bring it to the kingdom. When you put his kingdom first, he has a way of bringing all those things that you've been desiring. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Real quick, I'm going to read one more scripture and then we're going to pray. Acts chapter 5, because we have to see that God, that what I'm talking about is not all just like hypothetical, that it's actually scriptural, that God actually wants to use us and multiply and grow the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 5 and verse 12. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And I know apostle is an intimidating word. And you might be thinking, well, I'm not an apostle. But Peter was a fisherman, all right? Peter was a fisherman. Think about those qualifications. You know, if you can go out and fish, you're qualified to be an apostle. Now, I'm making a little bit light of it, all right? But, I mean, God can use anybody that'll rise up and say, use me. But it says, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared to join them, but the people esteemed them highly. Talking about the unbelievers. But then it says, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord. Multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. You see, this, and I mean, I had other examples, but I'm not going to read them for the sake of time. I mean, you can read in Acts chapter 9, verses 31 through 34, and verse 40, that when miracles take place, whole regions get saved. I mean, Peter, he's in Joppa, and there's this, I've shared before about Dorcas. You all remember Dorcas? You know, she croaked, and then Peter raises her from the dead, and it says that all of Joppa heard the gospel, and many of them believed. Amen? I'm telling you that when we go out there in faith and we see signs and wonders take place, and sometimes you go out there and when you're praying for somebody, you're laying hands on them, your mind is telling you, this isn't going to work, this is crazy, this is stupid, but you just tell your mind, shut up, I'm doing it anyway, and you lay hands on that person and you say, be healed in Jesus' name, and you say, rise up and walk, and you say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I set you free. And that stuff starts happening. All it takes for us is to believe. Believing is here, right in our heart, not in our mind. So you can still act on what your heart is telling you to do when your mind is telling you you're stupid. Amen? Let's pray. Everyone lift their hands. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your anointing power. I thank you for what you're going to do in this church, in this group of believers. Lord, we're going to get radical for you. We're going to move. We're going to take ground. We're going to advance your kingdom. God, I thank you that you anoint here this morning with your precious Holy Spirit every single one of these believers to begin to operate in supernatural power, in signs and wonders. Lord, I thank you that you bless them, that you prosper them, that they can bring in finances into your kingdom to see this move of God take place. Lord, I thank you that you are calling them, that you have chosen them, that you are going to use them in ways beyond that they ever thought possible. God, I thank you that you are the God that does over and above, supernatural, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. God, I thank you that we are not going to limit you in what you can do, but we're going to believe you for big things, that we're going to take action, that we're going to move forward, that we're going to take ground in the mighty name of Jesus. And if that's you, say amen. If that's you, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 I'm telling you, God's stirring something up in me. I know he's stirring something up in you. He's going to stir our church. We can't just come here week after week and just, you know, sit around and look around. Well, you know, it doesn't look like there's too many more people today, or, you know, it looks like there's a few more. No, the Bible says that there's multitudes in the valley of decision. The Bible says to ask him for the heathen and for the uttermost parts of the earth. The Bible says to ask him. God, today we ask you for the heathen. We ask you for the uttermost parts of the earth. Look, I've had it. I've had it with Christians that come here from other churches and they already know everything. And they're already just super weird and messed up from all kinds of weird religious teaching. And they already have an opinion on everything. I'm telling you, when you go out there and you just get a sinner saved, they just come in and they're just like, just teach me how God can use me. Teach me the word of God. And so that's where we need to find people, is we need to find people that are desperate for a touch of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Whoo. I'm going to close this morning by taking an offering. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18, it says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant." And you shall remember that the Lord your God. How many of you would say the Lord Jesus is my God? How many of you would say that I have a heavenly Father? Well, then this message is for you, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. For what purpose? That he may establish his covenant, that he may establish his testimony, that he may establish his kingdom in you and in me and in this entire region. You see, it's not enough to believe God for finances so that you can pay your bills, so that you can support your family. We need to believe God for supernatural finances so that we can establish the covenant, so that we can establish the kingdom of God. Amen? Believe God for big things. Ask him to speak to you with creative ideas. Lord, what can I do? Maybe it's making Bibles for $107. Ridiculous. But hey, people are buying them. I did. Maybe I'm just a sucker. But I know that if I got suckered into it, that I'm not the only one, because I'm usually not a sucker. So believe God. Ask God, what could you have me do? Be led by the Holy Spirit. Ask God, you know, you might be working a job and you have all of this stuff on the inside of you that you're like, man, I just wish I could do this. I'm telling you, it's no different for me thinking, man, I wish I could take Rochester. But as long as I'm just wishing that we can take Rochester, it's never going to happen. It requires taking some action. It requires saying like, hey, there might be 30 of us here today, 40 of us here today, but I don't care how what we see with our eyes, what we see in the natural, I don't care what we see in the bank, we're going to take Rochester and we're going to begin to take action on it. Amen? And as we begin taking steps, maybe the Lord's like, wow, you guys are proving yourself faithful. Now I can send you more people. Now I can send you more helpers. Now I can send you cameras and camera crew. Now I can send you people to teach in a school. Now I can send you people to run a daycare. Maybe he's just been waiting for us to begin to take action and say, God, we don't know how you're going to do it, but we trust that you're going to give us the plan. We trust that you're going to move forward. Maybe it's you and your business and you're thinking, man, I wish that I had the ability to start a business. I wish that I had ability to do this. What if you just started taking steps towards that? What if you just started taking steps of action and believing that as I do this, God is going to see it through? Amen? So ask the Lord what he would have you do today. Sow an offering in faith, believing that God is going to give you inspiration. Sow a seed into the kingdom of God, that we're going to take the finances that come here and we are going to expand the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, we're going to like ramp up our... We're going to ramp up everything. We're going to ramp up everything. Hallelujah. Rochester will not be saved until people like you and me start getting our face in front of people and preaching to them. It'd be great if we could just form like a prayer group, you know, intercessory group, blow the shofar, open a heavenly portal, and call it a day. But we all know that that doesn't work like that. If it did, Rochester would have been saved hundreds of times over. How many of you ever been in a service where they blew the shofar and the glory portal got opened and nothing else happened? I'm telling you, there has to be something more. There has to be some action taken. And look, if you're in a shofar blowing, I apologize. I don't apologize. I am sometimes literally offensive on purpose. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that as we sow seed into your kingdom, that we reap a ridiculous harvest. That you said that as we tithe, God, that you'll open up the windows of heaven and you'll pour out a blessing so great that we won't be able to contain it. God, you said in your word that you're going to bless all the works of our hands. Lord, as we set our hands to work in your kingdom, I thank you that everything that we do and work on is blessed in Jesus' name. And if you believe that, say amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.